Now, I'm pleased to introduce Paul Cech, world-renowned holistic health practitioner and founder of the Cech Institute and PPS Success. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, thanks, James, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. It's a pleasure to overview the beautiful little ebook, The Last Four Doctors You'll Ever Need, How to Get Healthy Now. What I did as I wrote the book was to share what I thought were the absolute essentials of health and well-being. It said when you go to work each day like I do, and for 25 years now I've seen people having all sorts of surgeries and mastectomies and radical procedures that are attempted long, long, long before anybody's ever even come close to exhausting not only natural therapies, but therapies that anybody could do. I mean, if you can walk to the front door, you qualify. And if you're breathing and you can move and limb, you still qualify for the base information offering in the four doctors. So I thought my book, How to Eat and Be Healthy, was simplistic enough, but I still continued to run into people that felt like they were overwhelmed with the information on how to eat, move, and be healthy. They scored high on all the columns in the score graph where you identify where your body's under stress. And that was just too much for some people to take. They felt overwhelmed. So I repeatedly find myself telling people about the most essential things there are. And the most essential things there are clearly depicted by the names of the doctors. Dr. Quiet represents stillness and rest. It represents the ability to control your environment, to make your environment quiet on the outside so that you can make yourself quiet on the inside. Anytime we're not quiet, we're consuming energy. And when we're consuming energy, we're running the factory of the cell. We're running the organism. We're stressing it. And as we run it, we deplete it, just as though you were running any factory. You would run out of lubrication. You would run out of parts. You would have a need for paper supplies, for linen supplies, for money, for parts being delivered, for raw materials, and for waste to be removed. And all those things depend upon, at some point, an interval of quiet. No machine can run forever. No organism can run indefinitely without a period of quiet. It's built into every rhythm of our body. If you breathe in, there's a natural pause before the exhalation. That pause is there so you can take consult with Dr. Diet and Dr. Quiet and Dr. Happiness and Dr. Movement. And then as you exhale, you're fully engaged in Dr. Movement again. And then there's a natural pause, and Dr. Quiet is on the scene. Personally, I found it really interesting in my life that I used to think this stuff, you know, this holding still and all this talk about meditation was a bunch of hype and foo-foo and who can do it, who's got time for it. Then just through circumstances and through, you know, helping other people solve problems and challenges in their life, I found that the better I got at helping people solve their problems, the tougher the problems people had when they came to me. And this little game's been going on now for 25 years. And after 25 years of solving problems, the universe says, well, try this, try this, try this. And it seems as though the universe has one heck of a supply of people's problems that are far more complicated than I ever imagined. So at some magical point, the problems that people had when they walked in my door were so radically beyond anything I could possibly imagine with my limited education, I finally just had to surrender and say, well, my goodness, what am I going to do here? And out of my honest I don't know-ness, I just paused my mind and meditated, not for me, but because I really was interested in helping this person before me. I could see that they were genuine, that they were interested. And sure enough, every time I've ever gone into the stillness out of a genuine need that was genuinely something I could not do alone, I had the greatest pleasure of hearing stillness speak. It's really almost mind-blowing. People hear or they speak of the sound of silence, and everybody often thinks that's just such a weird thing to say. The most amazing thing about Dr. Quiet is that Dr. Quiet is mathematically a zero. And just like Dr. Quiet is quiet, zero is nothing, but just like zero is nothing, Dr. Quiet is everything. Dr. Quiet's literally everything. If there is no Dr. Quiet in your life, first you get sick and then you die. Quiet always claims its territory without even trying. And the less you have, the more you need. It's a guarantee. So paradoxically, the harder you have to try to find quiet time, the more you need it. The very urge to find some inner peace, some inner stillness, the very urge to be alone, the urge to just have a few minutes to yourself, to be brain dead, to not think, to not be responsible, to not calculate, to not know, to not know. It's absolutely glorious. Take a few minutes a day and just make an agreement with yourself to not know. It's just great. When people expect so much out of you all the time, and you've come to believe that you're important, and you've got this idea in your head that everybody needs you, it takes so much energy to hold that idea up. And every time you copy that idea, my wife needs me, my kids need me, my animals need me, my students need me, my business needs me, my other business needs me, my partners need me, my parents need me, my city council needs me, and the list goes on and on. Every single time you add someone or some being or some object, like a house, put a couple of houses on that list. Houses are as alive as human beings. They need things. They need pipes replaced. They need seals replaced. They need paint. Every time you try to hold on to something with the illusion of its permanence, it's always interesting to watch it leave, to watch it dissolve. I drove the same car for 18 years and I watched it get old. It got old of my needs for it. And I'm sure it enjoyed it tremendously when I was traveling and giving it a rest. The more we think people need us, usually the harder we work ourselves to prove it and to be that. So one of the most amazing agreements you can make with yourself is to just honor yourself with enough love and respect for the fact that you have a body that literally was built by circuits of energy and reality flowing through the planet, the moon, the stars, the very thing that we call our bodies, has a definite need for quiet, which is why almost all animals sleep. Many people tell me they don't like to meditate. They can't stop their mind. They don't know how to meditate. And I just say, well, I'm just curious. Do you sleep at night? They say, yes. I say, do you sleep well enough that there's a period of time at night where you don't remember that you're alive, that you are? They say, yes. And I say, well, how big were your problems last night when you were asleep and you were alive, yet you still didn't remember who you are? And they look at me with a glint of surprise and almost relief in their eyes, and they say, well, now that I think of it, I didn't know I had any problems last night when I was sound asleep and I didn't remember who I was. So I always remind them that that physician, Dr. Quiet, is available to you anytime you are willing to still yourself, and it's a much more powerful physician than most of the ones we pay for, and it's also a physician you should never ignore, because without it, none of the other physicians can reach their potential. Dr. Quiet is the chief physician because, quite frankly, if everything that is alive in the entire universe died, there wouldn't be a single sound left, which ultimately means that the entire universe exists within the domain of Dr. Quiet. All sound, all vibration, every heartbeat, every rhythm of every cell literally emanates out of the grace of Dr. Quiet. And the further you get from Dr. Quiet, the more likely you are to literally wind up until you snap. Anxiety is just another way of saying that you're so wound up and you're so far from Dr. Quiet that you're about to snap. Depression simply means that you've been wound up for so long that you gave up trying to fix it. And you've burnt yourself out to the point that now your ability to get motivated to do anything is depressed. But Dr. Quiet is only Dr. Quiet because Dr. Movement is Dr. Movement. Dr. Movement is born out of Dr. Quiet because Dr. Quiet is so a master of resting that without doing anything, Dr. Quiet accumulates enough energy to create an entire universe. As a matter of fact, out of Dr. Quiet's meditation and perfection of the idea of rest springs the entire idea of movement. Anything that is begins to die as soon as it's born. Anything that is born in time. Something can only be born in time because to be born is an event. The only thing that does not need to be born in time is the chief physician. The chief physician is the chief of chiefs. Dr. Quiet does not need to be born because Dr. Quiet cannot die. So when movement begins, it begins at Dr. Quiet, and when it ends in Dr. Quiet. And no matter how fast you move, you just leap from one moment of quiet to another. But we get so accustomed to putting our awareness into the movement that we don't realize that Dr. Quiet's there. And some of us have so overused the idea of movement that we literally burn ourselves out and abuse Dr. Movement. For anything that's alive, Dr. Movement is essential because your breath and the beat of your heart are the most primal expressions of Dr. Movement that you have in you. Those rhythms are primordial. If you study quantum physics, there are more people that believe that the expansion of the universe, as identified by Einstein, is the inhalation of a being called the universe. In Hindu metaphysics, Brahman is a being. God is a being that breathes the universe. It is that breath that makes the galaxies turn, solar systems rotate, stars shine, explode, collapse, absorb, and give birth again. Dr. Movement is inextricably linked with mind and with time and with experience in our lives. When we eat, we've got to move it through our body. That's Dr. Movement. When we are finished with the foodstuffs and we've extracted the nutrients and the parts that are valuable to our species, and when we've extracted the water out of that foodstuff to support the body's hydration and biochemistry, the rest of it is moved out of us as feces, and that is the job of Dr. Movement. Anyone who is not breathing, whose heartbeat is out of tune in any way, shape, or form for what is optimal and healthy, anybody who does not digest well or eliminate well, anybody whose sweat smells or tastes overly salty, anyone whose urine smells or whose feces is hard to pass, too loose, does not float, is not well formed, is not a light brown in color with an earthy smell, has a problem with a component that can only be addressed through Dr. Movement. It is Dr. Movement that nourishes and pumps and moves everything into your body and everything out of your body that you don't keep as you. It is Dr. Movement that allows you to experience your own thoughts and emotions. The word emotion means E-motion, energy moving. If it's moving, it's in Dr. Movement's territory. To the degree that you are in tune with Dr. Movement, you will have management of your emotions, your moods. Your energy levels will be consistent and reliable. Because to be in tune with Dr. Movement means you are in tune with rhythm. And if you're in tune with rhythm, you're in tune with seasons. If you're in tune with seasons, you're in tune with winter. And you understand the concept of quiet. But you also understand the concept that out of winter comes spring. And in spring, we plant our crops and we take advantage of the earth's energetic outpouring and the sun's great gift of light, nutrition. With spring, we become more aware of the intimate relationship between the sun and the earth. And we do our part to support the local farmer, to buy foods that are not covered in dangerous chemicals that are contributed to the destruction of our children and our planet and ourselves. When we stay in touch with Dr. Diet, we're also in touch with our roots. Our very roots are in the soil. At no time in the history of humanity have we ever been able to live separate from nature. Only in the last 100 years have we really began testing the idea. Only now do we have 50% of our children that have never seen a farm animal with their own eyes. They eat bacon and they've never seen a pig, except for one, produced by Walt Disney. So they don't even really know what it means to cut the rainforest down. They don't know the difference between organic and commercially farmed food. We've managed to raise an entire generation of children that desperately crave nature, yet can't tell us about it because they don't even know her name. They don't know what these urges are. Some think that the urge is to play more video games. Some think that the urge is to drink more soda pop. Some think that the urge is to smoke more cigarettes. And cigarettes are very popular because tobacco is a plant that grows in the earth that has a very, very strong spiritual force. And that spiritual force is one that cleans the soul or the inner side of us, the parts of us that cloud the soul. The soul itself can't be cleaned.
Let the mind and the emotional body and the physical body retain all of our judgments and all of our ideas and all of our residues of all those things that just don't work. So it's very easy to become addicted to tobacco, because to be addicted to tobacco means you're addicted to a plant and you're addicted to something that grew out of the earth. And when people smoke it and they taste it, it reminds them of what they're really craving. But most of them don't have a strong enough connection to really read the message that they're getting. So they continue to smoke, and they continue to feel some kind of a connection, some kind of a safety, a kinship that they cannot explain. But that kinship could easily be nourished by eating right for your metabolic type, right for your own dietary needs, with the right variety of properly grown food. Food grown with respect, with love, and passion for farming by people who love the planet and love the soil and love life. Not by people who farm with airplanes and giant tractors and chemicals and no connection to the crops. The people that are farming in tune with Dr. Diet support life. Anything that does not support life is the opposite of living. And if you spell L-I-V-E backwards, it spells E-V-I-L. To be in tune with Dr. Diet is to appreciate the blessing that moves out of the soil every time the earth has a rest in winter and visits Dr. Quiet. And just as most of us love the light and the warmth of summer, whenever Dr. Diet and Dr. Movement and Dr. Quiet are in harmony, there is a sense of warmth, a joy in our experience. Dr. Happiness emerges as we forget about our body, because it breathes properly and it moves properly and it's pain-free. We forget about our body because we don't have to take drugs every 3 hours. While we forget about our body, we love the feeling of spirit moving through it. Decisions, destinations, elations, anxieties, tensions, releases, arrivals, departures, experiences, more experiences, some to avoid, some to acquire, some to repeat, some to keep secret, for fear that the wrong person may acquire the wrong experience at the wrong time, which would distort spirit and be a negative experience. At some time, each person comes to a point in their life where they make a decision that they're done doing silly things for and with silly people. They're done wearing masks and pretending to be people that they're not. And they're done chasing pipe dreams and fantasies about becoming something that they never really wanted to become. And when you get to that point, you've come to the point where you're willing to be honest with yourself about what makes you happy. You're willing to be honest with yourself about what your values are. What are you willing to spend your money on? How much sleep do you need tonight? What time are you willing to get up in the morning, or not willing to get up in the morning, to make money? What's the ratio between sacrifice of self to acquire money and respect self while determining exactly how much money you need before you're sacrificing yourself? These are all questions that nobody can answer except us. And if we don't answer those questions, we never have any kind of an enduring relationship with Dr. Happiness. Because when you cannot answer those questions and you cannot be tuned to Dr. Quiet, Dr. Movement, and Dr. Diet, it is impossible to know Dr. Happiness, because Dr. Happiness is the flower on a tree of life. And the trunk of that tree is Dr. Quiet. The branches are Dr. Movement. The leaves and the twigs are Dr. Diet. And the blossoms are Dr. Happiness. And a sick tree is less likely to ever blossom. And a sick tree is less likely to ever bear fruit. So Dr. Happiness only emerges when we get clear on what we really need to be happy within ourselves, so that we are willing to share that happiness joyfully without having to protect it with anyone else in our life. When we eat right, when we take time to exercise and honor our body as our temple, as our very place of worship, when we're clean inside and we can stand ourselves, it's so much nicer to share ourselves with other people. And when you share yourself with somebody else, because you've enjoyed sharing yourself with yourself first, and you're sure that they're getting a good product, then Dr. Happiness is truly in your life. So in the multimedia ebook, The Last Four Doctors You'll Ever Need, How to Get Healthy Now, you'll find slideshows, you'll find audio tracks, you'll find video clips, you'll find all sorts of useful, practical information that you can use as quickly as you can get up from your chair and go use it. If you read this book, you'll be able to breathe. You'll be able to think better. So if anyone would like to ask a question on anything that I might be able to help you with in the next 20 minutes, I will share the principles of The Last Four Doctors You'll Ever Need, How to Get Healthy Now, as it relates to your question or challenge.
So do we have any questions for Paul?
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
This is Danny in New York.
Hi, Danny.
How are you, Paul? How you doing?
I'm having a fantastic day. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing the same, and you're food for thought. And when we're talking about the four doctors, I want your spin or your feelings on the etiology of disease.
Well, any deviation from your natural harmony with rhythms that are built into our bodies is already going to create a disease. The word disease literally means dis-ease. So a disruption of the flow of energy in the body creates disease. And the body is a cybernetic system. A cybernetic system is a system of systems. And it's very logical for us to know that no matter how good the electronics work in our car, no matter how good the stereo is, no matter how good the hydraulics or the brakes, no matter how good the fuel pump is, no matter how good the water pump is, no matter how good the windshield washers are, if the radiator stops working, then the whole show comes tumbling down. You're stuck on the side of the road listening to your radio till you kill the battery, and it's all Dr. Quiet. Yet we haven't come to the point where we're willing to pay attention to the elusive obvious, which is so obvious that all you got to do is go out in the wild or talk to any shaman or farmer who knows enough about wild animals that will tell you that when animals are left to their own devices, they suffer very, very little from diseases whatsoever. Yet, to the degree that we've deviated from our natural environment, we've begun disrupting the synergy of our systems. So when people are dehydrated, they have the same effect on the inside that we would on the outside if it didn't rain. And the way all the vegetation would suffer, literally every one of the 10 billion biochemical reactions per second in the human body is water dependent. And so the same way nature begins
to show the signs of disease when she starves for water, so do we. Yet 90% of the population is dehydrated, and 90 to 95% of the population is constipated. So when you look at the fact that many old medical books from the early 1900s state that 90% of all disease begins in the colon, well, if you're not moving your bowel regularly, which means you have a digestive elimination problem, before you start taking laxatives as an example, or before you have anything stuck up your backside to see if there's something wrong, it's a simple thing to do, just to drink the right amount of water, which is the number one cause of constipation, is dehydration. So I'm only using these very, very simple explanations to make the point. And the point is that disease is the inability for us to maintain our internal physiology in tune with the environment around us. To the degree that the external environment makes demands that we cannot adapt to, disease results. To the degree that we make demands that the environment cannot effectively nourish, we create a situation that cannot be reconciled. So an example is when we get cravings for processed sugar, the only way that craving can be met at the scale that it occurs is if millions and millions of acres of land are farmed using fast-grow, chemical-based commercial farming techniques to produce huge numbers of beets to make white table sugar, on which those crops are monocrops, so they deplete the soils to the tune that the average farming family kills, just completely destroys 7,000 acres of farmland every 100 years. So we do exactly to ourselves on the inside what we do to the planet on the outside, and vice versa. So disease is nothing other than discordance between the external and the internal environment as it pertains to reality. The reality of it is we need everything that's depicted by these four doctors. And the reality of it is to the degree that you're not in tune with those four doctors, you're accelerating the onset of death. And how we get there determines the quality of our life. Whether or not we're going to get there is a question that we don't even need to ask. So I could give a whole bunch more elaborate explanations for what causes disease, but really they would just be skirting the issue. I really feel that disease is nothing other than an imbalance between our internal environment and the demands of our external environment. And since the world made us, it already knows, it's already built into us the harmony at which we resonate naturally, to the degree that our parents are healthy parents. So to the degree that our choices cause us to resonate at a frequency that is out of tune with nature, we become denatured. To be diseased is to be denatured. Yet there is, in my opinion, an amazing gift with every disease, and that is that the disease shows us exactly what we've got to do to tune ourselves. And to the degree that we follow the directions of the disease, we become tuned. And when the harmony returns, disease cannot exist. So the disappearance of the guru is the appearance of health. And the appearance of health is the displacement of the disease guru. Those two go hand in hand. They are antagonists that need each other, just like Batman and the Joker need each other to exist. Disease and health are Batman and Joker. And the funny thing is, just like the Joker says, I don't need money, dynamite's cheap. Okay? It's cheap to blow yourself up. It's cheap to eat junk food. It's cheap to be in too much of a hurry to care for yourself. But it's expensive. It's extremely expensive to fix what we create by being too cheap to listen to our needs and be honest about it. It's cheap to be cheap and not think for yourself and not feel yourself. But it's expensive to find out that you're one of the people in the pack that now has a disease. So that's my underlying theme on disease, having spent half my life working with it.
Now, Paul, the more we go away from being our natural selves, the more we go away from being connected with nature and the earth, this new thing that's just come out, the exercise pill with 5,000 a pop.
I've never heard of it.
How do you feel about that?
I don't even know what it is. That sounds pretty wild. What's this supposed to do?
Well, it's supposed to trick the genes in your body thinking that you have, in fact, exercised and gotten all the benefits from exercise without doing anything, without movement.
Well, there's only one problem with that, and that is that your body has to move constantly, which is why we breathe, and your muscles have to maintain a very specific tone. Each of the muscles in the body is tuned to a frequency range, just like a guitar string or a piano string. And there's no pill that can maintain the tone of a muscle, because that is dependent upon your choice to move. And because the purpose of a human body is to experience life, is to literally feel life. We're the fingertips as of the cosmos, if you want an analogy. And so the gene only tunes into the channel that the movie's on, but only we can play the part that the movie of life requires. So just like watching football on television doesn't make you fit, having your genes tuned to exercise is like tuning to an exercise show, but you can still sit on the couch. So you can be fat with genes. As a matter of fact, 95% of all diseases in the world are not genetically related. That is 95%. We now have a new biotechnology market that wants to sell you the idea of genetics as the source of disease, which is 95% bullshit. Okay, so life is a story, and we are the actors and the actresses and the playwrights and the set builders and the costume makers. The gene itself is nothing but the antenna that we choose to tune in with or not to. And if you have good genes and you don't pay attention to what you tune into, then you're a fat, sick, or tired person with good genes. And if you have lousy genes, then I highly recommend that you do not give the lousy genes an opportunity to raise their ugly head, because there is nothing in the world like health to suppress disease. So that's, you know, how I see that. And the biotechnology industry is doing its very best to lead us into believing that things go better with genetic pills and toys, just like they led us to believing that things go better with Coke and you're cool if you smoke.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome. Thank you. Does anyone else have a question? All right, James, are there any email questions on this call?
Hey, Paul, I have a question.
Okay, how can I help you?
Hey, this is Chris from San Francisco. And can you speak a little bit to mold in the home and effect on the body?
Yeah, if you have mold in the home, it produces mycotoxins. Myco means fungus, so a mycotoxin is a fungal toxin. They're some of the most dangerous and most powerful chemicals on the planet. They use fungal toxins in biological warfare. some of them are so powerful that literally nanograms of these chemicals can kill a laboratory animal on contact. And if you see black stuff on the walls, around the edge of toilets, sinks, tubs, sometimes if you look at a tiled wall in the bathtub, in the shower, you'll see in the cracks that it turns black. Sometimes there'll be a green, almost like microscopic moss. Sometimes it can be a browny red color. All of that, those are all indicators of mold and or a fungal infection. And the house can get a fungal infection. Carpets that have fungus have a very characteristic smell to them, almost like mildewy.
Mm-hmm.
And the funguses release what are called spores. And it's kind of like a plant has pollen and it spreads its genetics that way. Well, funguses send out spores. So wherever you're in the area of a fungal infection in a house, you're going to be breathing in billions of fungal spores. And when they get inside of you, they grow, and all of a sudden you've got yourself a fungal infection. And the next thing you know, you start craving sugar all the time. You're tired. You have a harder time sleeping restfully. You could eventually start getting dark circles under your eyes and waking up with bags under your eyes. Sex drive will go down. Creative mental energy will diminish. Overall energy diminishes. And all the while, you'll be craving fruits and sweet stuff progressively. It's classic to become progressively more addicted to caffeine due to the chronic fatigue. And your increase in susceptibility to colds and other minor ailments goes up in proportion to the degree that you're infected by a fungus, because fungal mycotoxins disrupt the communication in our immune system between interleukins and cytokines, which are immune messengers. So the funguses release mycotoxins into our bloodstream to confuse our immune system. So it's kind of like scrambling a radio signal, and all the cops just come to a standstill because even though they know there's a bank being robbed, they're not quite sure where to go. So our immune system gets very confused and it doesn't know who to attack. And that's a defense mechanism that the fungus has built billions of years ago so they could survive in the bodies of living entities with immune systems. So if any of those things are occurring in your environment, they will very likely get into your body quickly. They come in on silverware. They come in through breath. They come in through food, through contact with everything that you touch. They're pretty much ubiquitous. It's almost impossible to find anywhere in the world where there's not fungal spores. So those are my indicators. The other thing is once you get them, they oftentimes disrupt the skin. They can make you itch. They can appear like pimples, except when you squeeze, nothing comes out of them, and you just make a hell of a mess of your skin. A common symptom of fungal mycotoxin infection is constipation, alternating with loose stools. So you have, you know, hard-to-pass stools for 2, 3, 4 days, 5 days, and all of a sudden your body just forces everything out of you. Then you kind of have like a period of distended lower abdomen and feeling backed up, lethargic. Oftentimes people get headaches. And then all of a sudden they have a big, huge, massive flush of a bowel movement. And then they go through that cycle repeatedly. That's classic fungal mycotoxin poisoning. So one of the things you can do is you can have your house checked. There's companies that will come in and they will measure the amount of fungal spores in the rooms of your house, in your carpets, on your counters, and they can tell you where you're at safe with regard to safe levels. And then if you do your homework, you can find people that have natural means of killing them. There are great natural cleansers out made of eucalyptus, strong amount of eucalyptus in them.
Mm-hmm.
If you email my assistant, Vidya@paulcheck.com, she can tell you the name of the eucalyptus general cleaning soap that we use at the house.
What's her name?
Vidya, V-I-D-Y-A. It's Vidya, V-I-D-Y-A, @paulcheck.com. And she'll be able to recommend good soap for that's natural that'll keep that stuff to a minimum. Tea tree oil, eucalyptus oil, Young Living's blend called Thieves will all completely eradicate fungus. As a matter of fact, there's scientific research on Thieves showing that it permanently kills a fungus, not just temporarily. You can get that through the Czech Institute website if you go to the page on Young Living Essential Oils, or maybe some of them available on PPS in the product section. I'm not sure. But it is available through the Czech Institute at Czech Institute, CHEK Institute.com, in the products area.
Okay.
And then there's a great Young Living blend called IMU Power, IMU Power. That and Thieves can also be used in your water. I put 3 drops of each liter and a half bottle of water when I travel. If I'm staying in hotels and things like that where I can't control the environment, that will stimulate the immune system and protect you against funguses, parasites, and bacteria very, very effectively. But I would recommend only using it when you are feeling like a cold coming on or something stressing you, or when you are going into an environment that you want to make sure you're protected against, like strange hotels and being in conferences with hundreds of people coughing and gagging and things like that. So those are some quick tips for you. And also the resident expert on that is a man named Doug Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N. He has 2 books on funguses and how to get over them and heal from them and all the ailments that they cause. And the books are both very powerful and very, very effective. One's called The Fungus Link, and the other one, I believe, is called Cancer. But they're by Doug Kaufman, and they're both available at the Institute, checkinstitute.com.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Are there any other quick questions before I shut the call down for the night?
Yes, this is Annette in Asheville.
Hello, Annette from Asheville.
Hi. In reading your book, when you were talking about the different hours or the different cycles for rest, you were saying that it's good to go to bed at, say, 10 o'clock at night. And how is that affected by the daylight savings thing? Should we still go with the natural 10 o'clock of night or shift into when the daylight saving comes and goes?
Well, if you shift, then you're just going to go through a period of stress. But essentially, in fall, when it goes back, you lose an hour, right?
Yes.
So what you're going to need to do is essentially take 3 20-minute power naps over the course of the next few days so you can accumulate the lost rest. It's not a perfect recovery, but there is research showing that when we lose sleep, we can nap, and every time we take a nap, the body starts reaccumulating the amount of time and energy that it lost, because the body sort of recharges itself, almost like a rechargeable battery left on a charger when we sleep. So if it takes 8 hours to charge your battery at night, but you're only getting 7 hours of sleep, maybe for 2 weeks, because your body takes 2 weeks to fully adapt, you can compensate for the shift by taking power naps. The best time to take power naps is around 11 and around 3, because those are 2 natural dips in our energy flow, natural energy cycles in the body, and they happen to be the most therapeutic times to take naps. So my recommendation would just be to use napping. Otherwise, you can find yourself challenged with
you know, needing to get to stores and do business and things when all of a sudden they're closed at an unusual time and you're on one time zone and everybody else is on another one. If you had a health condition that was serious, then I would encourage you to do whatever you needed to do to reestablish rhythms, including ignoring a time zone shift like that. When cases are bad enough, I encourage them to go out camping for a minimum of 2 weeks. And the reason is almost everyone that I've ever met will reestablish normal rhythms with the sun and the earth if they're sleeping on the ground in an environment where they don't have access to radio and television and things to distract them. So that's just a little side note for anybody that's really got health challenges. One of the most therapeutic things you can do is just get back out into nature, and it will reset all your rhythms if you stay for at least 2 weeks. Does that answer it for you?
Yes, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Russ from Toronto, Canada.
Hey, Russ.
Hi, I just had a question. My aunt died yesterday of cancer, brain cancer.
Okay.
And in your opinion, I just wanted to know, what would be my best strategy in terms of Dr. Quiet in dealing with kind of the bereavement phase of such an event?
Well, my approach to that personally would not necessarily to attach that experience to a given doctor, but just to be authentic with what rises up in you. You know, you may find that you're driving down the road and all of a sudden tears start to form and the emotional move through you. Now, it would be a sociocultural thing to say, why am I crying? I'm a guy. I don't cry, and do what most guys do and then bury it. And then it'll just get stuck inside of you and create disease in you. So whenever you feel a natural grievance occurring, allow yourself to grieve. If you're with people, just excuse yourself and say, I'm sorry, I recently had a death in the family and I'm still processing it and I need to just have a moment by myself. I think anybody with two brain cells holding hands would understand that. But most people, you know, so suppress the natural grieving process that it just gets trapped inside of them and it can only reproduce what it is. And any grieving process that's suppressed or is unhealthy because it is energizing ideas about death that aren't true, ultimately only create inside the body exactly what they are. So to the degree that the grieving process is unhealthy or is selfish, then to that very degree, it creates unhealthy physiological reactions within us.
Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. All right, James, I think we better say goodnight. I got to get home and move to Dr. Quiet.
Well, wow. Well, that was a great call, Paul. Thank you very much. And I want to thank everybody for joining us on the phone tonight. And if you're interested in reading The Last Four Doctors You'll Ever Need, How to Get Healthy Now, and you haven't yet picked up a copy, you can visit our website at ppssuccess.com and click on the Products and Programs link. You'll find that link on the left side of the page. And you'll see The Last Four Doctors as the very first listing under our ebook category. So once you're on The Last Four Doctors page, you can download the first chapter for free. And there, we've also got some videos of Paul talking about The Last Four Doctors there as well. So a bunch of neat stuff on that page. And if you've got a copy of the ebook and you've got all that information under your belt, we've also got The Last Four Doctors Audio Companions, which about 6 hours worth of additional expansion on each of the four doctors that you can pick up at our website as well. So there's lots of good four doctors related material there. So thanks everybody for stopping by, and of course we invite you to stop by the website too and have a look, poke around, see there's lots of good stuff there.
Feel free to share this call with anybody that you think it might help as well. If you feel they need it, chances are they do, because as you now know, we're not giving anything away but simple truths that are essential. And that's one of the beauties of my four doctors approach, is it's all based on things that are readily available to us. Nothing radical, nothing expensive. Really just redirecting your energy in the direction of what you want
not what you don't want. Choosing the right aisle in the supermarket and prioritizing your time so that it works for you instead of you working for it. So thanks, James, for organizing the call and chauffeuring me as we fly through the four doctors. And thanks to everyone for joining tonight. I certainly enjoyed sharing these concepts with you. I hope we can all enjoy life together. That's all we've got.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thanks, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Paul.
See you.
Good night.